What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is joining us, holding it down live from New York City. We're broadcasting to you. You at home, you in your car, you at work, you on the road, you delivering, you chilling, you relaxing, whatever you happen to be doing. Thank you for listening to CBS Sports Radio. The JR Sport Brief Show gets started every weeknight, new time, new year, same me, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. So thank you again, everybody, for listening. If you want to participate in the show, the phone number works. It's 855-4-CBS. That's 855-212-4-CBS. If you like to utilize the internet, you like to be on social media, scrolling away, tapping away, falling asleep, getting in trouble, yelling with strangers, gambling, looking at other things. Yes, there's a lot of things you can find online. Don't look at me, though. I'm at JR Sport Brief. There's nothing to look at. Just sports takes and humor, being a jerk every now and then, a polite jerk. I'm just having me some fun. And that's what I plan on doing here for the next 3 hours. We've been hanging out for 1 hour already. Last hour, thank you oh so much. Randy McMichael, former NFL player, 11 years in the league, current host on 92.9 The Game, middays in Atlanta with Andy Bunker. Randy McMichael came through and joined us as we talked about a couple of the NFL games that matter in this final week and some of the games that don't matter. We know on Sunday Night Football, we're going to have the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills going at it with the AFC East crown on the line. The Dolphins are already pretty much set in with a playoff spot, I should say. And the Buffalo Bills, they're going to have to win to get in. And if they lose, they're going to need some help to get in. And so that should be a good game Monday Night Football as the Buffalo Bills, who have won 4 straight games, get ready to take on the Miami Dolphins, who are quite wounded at this point in time. And unfortunately as well, we saw today that Tyreek Hill, his home, it went up in flames. His house was on fire. Reportedly, everything is okay. God bless him and his family. But that's certainly something that is going to be a distraction. But listen, when you got to start thinking about your family and their well-being, yeah, football is a secondary matter. So all the best to Tyreek Hill as he deals with that personal issue. And we'll see what takes place on the field come Sunday night. A couple of games that do not matter. We know that we will not see Patrick Mahomes suiting up on Sunday against the Chargers. The Chiefs are sure the third seed, so we will not see the magician Mahomes out on the field. We have the pleasure of witnessing and watching Blaine Gabbert. And we know Patrick Mahomes is in the prime of his life. He's in the prime of his career. He's going to be competing for another Super Bowl. And it is a guy who just rolled off his damn couch, and he is getting a rest as well. His name is Joe Flacco. We talked about him last hour as well. Yeah, the guy who beat the New York Jets and was whooping their ass so bad that he decided to take a quick cat nap on the sidelines as he batted his eyes just a little bit. Ryan, I'm not in New York anymore, but the fact is, and now what people do on the subway all the time, they're not fully in a mode of sleep. They're just resting their eyes, right?
Ready to attack if, you know, danger presents itself. But, right, never, you know, just a little close of the eyes there. 10 minutes, stealing some sleep.
You've never fully fallen asleep on the subway in New York?
Not on the subway. No siree.
You're kidding me.
I'm a stander. I don't sit down there.
You've never sat down on the subway?
I mean, like, once in a blue moon, but I could probably count the number of times I've sat down on one hand.
Wow. What, do you drive everywhere in New York?
No, I go on the subway. I just stand.
Wow. Man, I had to take the subway every year of my life in high school. I had to take the subway every year of my life in college, and I had to take the subway. I don't even know how many stops. That's how many. I can't count. I can't imagine just I like to stand in general. Like, I hate sitting down right now in the studio here in Georgia, but, man, I couldn't imagine. What are you taking, a train? Two stops?
No, it's like a half hour day.
Well, you got to smell somebody's underarms next to you, and a lady is next to you. She's yelling and cursing at you because you're bumping into her. You got a lot of patience, Ryan, okay?
Well, that's why you got to stand. So you got to move away if you know, those kind of people present themselves. That's all. Just stay mobile. Stay mobile.
Okay. Well, Joe Flacco, I don't think he has any familiarity with this, but he was certainly doing a very New York City subway-ish thing on the sidelines. Ryan, the coach, we played it last hour. Stefanski spoke earlier today, didn't he?
Oh, that he did.
And then he gave us the excellent news. Let's hear who's going to start in place of Sleepy Joe.
Jeff Driscoll will start at quarterback. Jeff's a guy with the system knowledge from Arizona, is helpful to get out there. And, you know, PJ Walker will be the backup. He's been great for us. He started in games and won for us, but just felt like this was the right thing to do for the team in this particular instance, to give Jeff an opportunity to show us what he's capable of as well.
Just what the world wanted to see. Jeff Driscoll versus Jake Browning to close out the season. Nobody's trying to see that garbage. I mean, people are probably giving away their tickets. I know David Tupper, we talked about him last night, you know, getting fined $300,000. He's worth $20 billion for throwing a drink at a fan. I think they were selling his tickets, it feels like, for 45 cents a couple of weeks ago. I want to know how much these tickets are going for in Cincinnati. And they've had a terrible season, or a terrible way to end their season, I should say. You know, pretty much once Joe Burrow went down, I don't care what their record is or what it looks like. We know that the Bengals, they were done when Joe Burrow went down. So that game could be a great game between backups. It could be a blowout. It could be an ass-whooping. And speaking of blowouts, oh, my God. This really started to circulate through the news earlier today. And I had to go, who? What? Look. I'm not going to sit here and profess to know every professional athlete in North America. We're talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands. There are guys who I turn on the television at times. I go, who the hell is that guy on the end of the bench? And I feel like I know a good majority of the players. But I don't know everybody. Nobody does. And so I was a little shocked, a little surprised earlier today when a college basketball game came through my feed. When I saw this, started to pop up all over social media. This is actually awful. Okay, I know Grambling. Shout outs to all my folks in Grambling. Shout outs to the HBCUs. I saw Grambling. Ladies basketball team, Division I, beat a team that I have never heard of in my life. Biblical Studies. You heard that correct. Maybe you heard about them for the first time as well today. If you happen to be in Houston, Texas, maybe you already know about them. Grambling beat Biblical Studies 159-18. What? Let me say that again. Grambling beat Biblical Studies 159-18. And yeah, as you know, the jokes here write themselves. It's Hickey. Did you hear about? Have you ever heard of Biblical Studies in your life?
CBS. Of course, College of Biblical Studies.
You've heard of the College of what?
No, I have not. I've still. I mean, honestly, I know it happened because it's a real score. I'm still not sold this is a real school.
What do you think? This is like that. What was that? The school that played on ESPN a couple of years ago that they
Bishop Sycamore. Yeah.
Yes. They carved them together. They just gave them the show. Well, not the show, the documentary on HBO to show how much of a sham they were. You think the School of Biblical Studies could also be a sham?
I don't know about sham, but I mean, offering basketball, studying the Bible. I mean, not playing basketball very well.
Now, this is going to sound terrible. I'm prepared for all the emails and messages I'm going to get. I'm going to expect a team that's studying the Bible or studying anything, I'm going to expect them to get smashed. I'm just being honest. And I've seen nuns playing basketball. They look amazing. I have seen young ladies in hijabs go out there and play basketball. They look amazing. I've seen a young lady in a hijab go out there and cross dudes up and give them buckets. I have seen that in my life. And so I'm not trying to be wholly disrespectful. Holy as in W-H-O-L-Y. Holy, not holy as in Holy Bible. I'm expecting them to get beat up. Not this bad, though. I mean, this whooping was so terrible that even on KTL News, I mean, listen to the news, the sports broadcast, I should say, just share the news so eloquently, better than I could.
This score is not a typo. The Grambling State women's basketball team beat the College of Biblical Studies 159-18. Ariana Mosley scored 27 points for Grambling. Mansfield grad Kahia Wormsley added 20 points in the win. Grambling finished with 122 points in the paint. They scored 78 points off turnovers, which they forced 52 of those, and they out-rebounded the Ambassadors by 41.
This is bad. A 141-point margin of victory. It's the largest in D1 history for a men's or a women's squad, flat and period. Biblical Studies had no damn business being out on a basketball court with Grambling. And it's not like Grambling, pardon me, it's some superpower. This is not, you know, LSU. There's not Caitlin Clark going out there beating up on Bible students. It's Grambling. No disrespect to everybody in the SWAC, but it's Grambling, okay? This was an embarrassment. And as much as I love sports, this is the worst part about sports, is when we have to see beatdowns. It's one thing to have two good teams and one team has an off day. They have an off night. I think anybody who's ever played sports, you know what's going to happen. But on the college side, on the college scene, it's so much of a business, right? And we all know it's a business. But everybody gets so caught up in the tradition and the fandom and what we're used to that the veil of competitiveness isn't always there. I mean, sometimes we get a lot of nonsense. We get a lot of garbage. I mean, this past weekend, the Orange Bowl was a joke. I tune into the Orange Bowl. I got it on in the background. I'm like, oh, let me see what Florida State can do. I'm going to think that Georgia's going to beat them, especially after the disappointment of not making the college football playoff, after the injuries, after the opt-outs. I'm expecting an L for the Seminoles, but not to the tune of 63-3. Like, what in the hell is that? This was so bad. This was so bad. They shouldn't even play the game. This is like a scrimmage. A lot of these bowl games are like scrimmages. And even Kirby Smart, after his team won 63-3, he spoke to the media and he's just like, this is trash.
People need to see what happened tonight and they need to fix this. It needs to be fixed. It's very unfortunate that they, who has a good football team and a good football program, are in the position they're in. And everybody can say it's their fault and it's all their own problem. All right? And everybody can say that we had our guys and they didn't have their guys. I can listen to all that. But college football has got to decide what they want. And I know things are changing. And I think things are going to change next year. And you know what? There's going to still be bowl games outside of those. People got to decide what they want and what they really want to get out of it. Because it's really unfortunate for those kids on that sideline that had to play in that game that didn't have their full arsenal. And it affected the game 100%.
It's like almost 30 dudes opted out. I mean, Florida State, shout outs to the Seminoles, all my folks down in Tallahassee, I love y'all. But it was the backup to the backup to the backup to the backup to the backup that was out there competing. What type of nonsense is that they're throwing on television? I think Capital One, shout outs to my folks at Capital One, that they had to sponsor this. And it's like, who cares? By the way, we talked about this yesterday, too. The Pop-Tart Bowl was the best bowl. If you had to do MVPs right now on mascots, it'd be the Pop-Tart. Capital One doesn't have a mascot, but I digress. The fact is, nobody wants to see an ass whooping. Nobody. If I was sitting down in Florida watching this crap, I'd have to get to drinking. I'd have to ignore what's taking place on the field, and I'd go find a bottle. And I don't think they hand out bottles. I'd be drinking out of all the plastic cups just to get through the game, just to make the experience worthwhile, just to make this worthy of my time. Like, we don't need this. And yes, Kirby Smart is correct. Yeah, we can move towards a 12-team college football playoff. But then what about the 13th team and the 14th team and the 15th and on and on and on that are playing for absolutely nothing? You going to fix it then? I'm expecting blowouts now in the college football playoff. We're going to have teams that are at the top of the totem pole versus teams that don't necessarily deserve to be there. Hi, TCU. Sorry, TCU, just a little bit if we got to go back a year. I'm just not a fan. I'm not for blowouts. I want to see a competitive game. I can understand one team being better than the other most times. It's rare that teams are always equally or evenly matched. You're going to have somebody favored to win. You're going to have somebody favored to lose. But I'm out on the blowouts, man. I'm out on the majority of these bowl games. If I don't think it's going to be a competitive matchup, if folks aren't healthy, if the team ain't opting out, I'm not with it. It's no different than the NFL. It's comical. We move towards the 17th game of the regular season, week 18, and we got fans that have paid for tickets, maybe wrongfully so. At the end of the year, they won't see Patrick Mahomes. They won't see Lamar Jackson. We got Jeff Driskel, Jake Browning. And yeah, you can't deal or you can't help injuries. I mean, Easton Stick, Jarrett Stidham. You know, are people paying tickets, buying tickets to just see Russell Wilson? I don't think so. But you want to see the stars. You want to see the dudes who are getting these major bucks, who are supposed to be earning this money from the fans, off the fans' back. And you got to watch Jarrett Stidham. This is disappointing. And I just want to know, at what point in time do fans say something? Or are we so enamored by fandom and gambling? Maybe gambling will move the needle. Maybe gambling will force people to care. That some of these games, they don't matter. And the leagues tell us these games don't matter. The schools tell us these games don't matter. The players tell us these games don't matter. At what point do we as fans go, I've had enough of this? The NBA having to institute rules to try to hedge against load management. Is the NFL going to do such a thing? Oh, they got injury reports, and that's to help out folks who are trying to make a buck. What about the college level? What the hell are they going to do with these bowl games that mean nothing? Oh, they won't do anything themselves because the bowl games make them money. And the fans, I guess we just don't care. Everything boils down to a buck. But, man, these ass whoopings, I ain't watching. My condolences to the school of Biblia. I don't know. Hickey, do you know what they're officially called? Does it matter? The School of Biblical Studies?
The College. College of Biblical Studies.
They're called the College of Biblical Studies. Okay. Oh, God bless them. And I hope all of the young ladies on the team just go out and be amazing individuals, whatever they want to do. I can only think about what you would study at the College of Biblical Studies. I assume it would be the Bible. It won't be basketball. 159-18. Damn. No more blowouts for me. Get the mercy rule. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. I ain't cool with these college blowouts. I wish they would stop. But we know everything boils down to the money. We're going to take a break, and we come back on the other side. Speaking of money, there was a guy who played golf. He wasn't cool with the injection of money into the game and where it came from. And now I guess he is cool. We're going to talk about Rory McIlroy, who is seemingly, possibly changing his tune when it comes down to live golf. Wow. Maybe money talks. Maybe he's getting some too. We'll discuss it on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Right before we went to break, we talked about money. Nothing out of the ordinary. Money makes the world go round. Why is Georgia beating FSU by 60 points? Well, it's just money. I mean, by the time we get to the beginning of next college football season, we'll have teams that are going to show up and get beat up just for money. I'm not going to say that financial implications were the reason that Grambling beat Biblical Studies 159-18, but I'm sure that there's some type of dollar amount involved that at least made Biblical Studies want to show up. And yes, I'll throw this joke that I read online. It's like they got a holy whooping. Not the best of jokes, but they write themselves there. And speaking of money, I know we're in 2024. This was a huge story in 2023. Whether you like golf or whether you absolutely hate golf, it was impossible to ignore live golf, especially as the Saudi investment fund came in and started live and started to poach talent from the PGA Tour, off of the PGA Tour, the Brooks Koepkas of the world, the Phil Mickelsons, the DeChambeaus, and the Dustin Johnsons, and then even as we concluded the years, John Rahm. Everybody was for the taking. Here's a couple hundred thousand, or excuse me, that's David Tepper money, getting fined $300,000. Here's millions of dollars. Here's a couple hundred million dollars. Leave the PGA and come over here. And you can certainly go ahead and look at the Saudi Investment Fund, which is an arm of the Saudi government, and you can draw your own conclusions and do your own research as to why that would trouble some folks based on Saudi Arabia's history, if you want to look at it, of just, let's just say, non-niceties. That's me putting it in a politically correct way. So people are saying, hey, y'all out here taking blood money. That's a lot of money to take. And someone who's been more critical than anybody else about Liv and the individuals who decided to take that money is Rory McIlroy. You have a golfer who always gets close, but close enough doesn't count. The man who's won four major championships, but he always gets close, but almost doesn't count. I mean, last year he finished second in the Masters, and it's been quite some time. Last time he picked up a big one, damn it, I feel like I got to go back to like 2014. And so it's been a while for Rory McIlroy. But he's been very vocal about Liv and players leaving and defecting and destroying the PGA Tour. And now he's changed his tune. He has to go out there and play with John Rahm on the Ryder Cup. And so I guess they're a little closer than anybody else. And so he sat down. Rory McIlroy did on a podcast, Stick to Football podcast, and not the one that we throw, but the one that we kick. And it sounded like all of a sudden he's not as critical. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, I think at this point it's like I was probably judgmental of the guys that went at the start. And I think that was a bit of a mistake on my part because I now realize not everyone's in my position or in Tiger's position. And, you know, you get this offer and it's, you know, what do you do? It's, you know, we all turn professional to make a living playing the sports that we do. And I think that's what I realized over the last 2 years. I can't judge people for making that decision. And so if I regret anything, it was probably being too judgmental at the start.
Did he just wake up? Did somebody inform him how much money he has in his bank account? Did somebody inform him what assets he has? I mean, did he just wake up and realize that, I don't know, when it comes down to active athletes, they're two billionaires. One is LeBron James and the other one is Tiger Woods. Is this something that Rory McIlroy was not aware of? How? He realized that everybody isn't like him in Tiger? Now, I'm not going to go ahead and put Rory McIlroy in the category of, I don't know, Lance Armstrong, who just happened to be jerk number one. And I know about him beating cancer and Livestrong. God bless him for that. But bullying his own teammates and threatening them to shut up and participate in the drug scandal, that's just one of the worst things I've ever heard in the world of athletics, especially at that high of a level. But Rory McIlroy, yeah, he ain't crapping on nobody. He's not forcing anybody to do drugs or steroids. But I guess, is he just as clueless? He had to realize that not everybody, hey, you know what, if a guy offers me, I don't care if he got blood on his hands or not, if he offers me $250 million, don't you think that's going to change somebody's life? Like, if you're going to say something, stand on it. And I know maybe LIV Golf trying to come to a formal agreement, maybe that's changing Rory McIlroy's decision-making. Maybe that's making him go, maybe I'm going to have to deal with these folks. Oh, maybe now I'm in a position where I'm going to have to take money from, quote unquote, them. I don't know why. Maybe he woke up on 2024 and had a change of thought or change of opinion. I can't imagine why else. And they're trying to come to an agreement. LIV Golf and the PGA, they had the thought process set up. They had a self-imposed deadline to try to tie things together, become one entity where the LIV and the Saudi Investment Fund would invest into the PGA. They had that deadline on the 31st of December. It is now January 3rd. They've extended the deadline. And like I said last break, it's not just applicable to college football, college athletics. Man, you can even look at golf. Money makes the world go round. And man, I guess if I had an oil well under my house, I'd be throwing it around trying to make more money as well. Hey, Ryan, why the hell do you think all of a sudden Rory McIlroy has just changed his mind?
I think now with the merger, he knows his pockets, whether he wants it to be or not, about to be lined by that Saudi money.
Yeah, either that or, well, he ain't going to quit. I mean, I guess that's what he would do. I'm sure he can run around designing golf courses and building facilities all he wants. But, man, I guess it comes to a point in time, everybody got a boss for the most part. Even if you are a millionaire multiple times over, yeah, you want to play golf? Well, you gotta be in bed and be in business with us. It's pretty awful to see. I wonder if there was not a potential merger, you know, would he still be singing this tune? Rory McIlroy did a lot of yapping last year, and wow, he just completely changed his tune. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of Rory McIlroy running his mouth, running his yap, I need to remind you, in about 30 minutes from now, the top of the hour, I'm going to share with you a top six list. It's going to be a bunch of athletes that I wish would shut up in 2024. These are athletes who have maybe overstayed their welcome, overtalked their welcome, and don't know how to be quiet. I hope that they turn over a new leaf in 2024. I'll share that list with you at the top of the hour. Speaking of money, we come back on the other side of the break. I want to give you an update on a team. It feels like they ain't spending no money, and they're getting everybody on the deal. I'll tell you who they are on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I like that. The Magnificent One. I'm going to have to print that out and wear it on a hoodie. I like that, the Magnificent One, as I sit here in my JR Sport Brief hoodie that no one can see because I'm in the studio. Well, at least I'm being recorded. I'll post it later. Anyway, here's some good news for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. At the top of the hour, it's the top of the year, right? It's only January 3rd. I'm bringing you a new top six list because that's what I do on Wednesdays. And tonight, we're going to talk about the top six athletes that I hope keep it quiet, that shut up here in 2024. They did so much talking in 2023. We didn't see the results. We just got a lot of yapping and not results. We'll get into the top six list at the top of the hour. Right before we went to break, I did tell you about Rory McIlroy, who has now changed his mind, I guess, about people who have decided to defect over to LIV Golf. And he's well within his right to go out there and change his mind. But his reasoning of, well, damn it, I didn't realize people had it as good as me and Tiger, is just like, well, where the hell you been, man? And so that's what we got into last break. I want to tell you about the Braves here in Atlanta, Georgia, what they're doing with their money, what they're not doing with their money. But let's go ahead and go to Cincinnati and talk to Lee. Hey, Lee, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. How are you?
I'm doing great, JR. Thanks for taking my call. And the thing is about Rory is what you got to understand is I kind of believe him when he says he didn't realize, because you're talking about a guy whose dad went out when he was still an amateur and bet that he was going to win the British Open before he turned, what was it, like 22 or 23 or something like that, and he ended up making good on that bet. This is a guy who's always thought that he was one of the greatest in the world. You know, when you're looking at it from a standpoint like that, you know, he kind of is going to have a blind eye towards everybody else. He's going to realize, hey, you know, I'm one of the greatest. I don't have a problem. Doesn't realize it's actually difficult and problematic for the other people, you know, to make anywhere near as much kind of money that he's making, to be able to win the tournaments like he can. You know, and so you got the LIV Golf Tour. You don't have to be quite as good, but you can still make generational or lifetime, well, for many generations. You know, I just think he really had a change of heart, not just a change of mind, but a change of heart because of that, realizing, you know, I guess I've had a silver spoon in my mouth the whole entire time, you know, and most everybody else doesn't.
Well, I was going to say kind of what you said. So you think he's just now waking up in his, I don't know, early to mid-30s and going, I'm a spoiled rich kid? Like, is he that ignorant?
No, to an extent. But no, I'm not saying it's ignorance. I'm just saying it's being blind, the fact that he was like, because I have to admit, I've seen a lot of people. I'm in my early 50s. And when I was that age, I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You know, and I was the most right person in the world. Everybody else, if they didn't agree with me, they were wrong. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, you know, I am kind of an idiot about some things. You know, I was wrong in the way that I look at stuff. Okay. And he very well could be reaching that point. That's what I'm hoping, at least, because I really do like Rory McIlroy. And that was one thing that I didn't like, was the way that he came down on guys who went to the LIV Golf Tour. We were talking about they're set for life. It didn't matter really how they played. They were still going to make incredible money and still be able to retire comfortably doing what they love and playing the game they love, just like McIlroy.
Yeah, we'll see soon enough. His tune has already changed. Thank you so much, Lee, for calling from Cincinnati. Yeah, I can't imagine. There are a lot of people who grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth. They've never had to work a day in their life. They haven't had to work for anything. Rory McIlroy has not taken me as someone who behaves that way. You know, how he articulates and has shared his thoughts and opinions on LIV Golf, it hasn't been about, oh, my friends are leaving and look at these lazy bums taking the money. Ah, they taking a bad. Nah. He articulated himself perfectly. He talked about the destruction of the PGA Tour as it exists. He talked about where the money was coming from. He talked about having an appreciation for the PGA Tour. Now he's saying, oh, yeah, well, the tour and how they've treated us and how they go about getting sponsorship money and revenue is all backed up, and the chickens are now coming home to roost. And some of my friends who decide to leave, I can't blame them. Come on, man. I think it has a little bit more to do with, man, if I'm going to keep playing golf, even if it's getting funneled into a different entity, even though the check isn't coming directly into my pocket from LIV or the Saudis, I think he's come to the realization of, well, damn, I'm going to be taking his money too. So let me go ahead and change my mind. Money makes the world go around. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish we'd spread the money around so everybody could have a little bit of bread. But the world doesn't work that way. And I guess Rory McIlroy is figuring that out as well. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I do want to mention this story as it relates to money, because this is completely nutty to me. We all know about the Los Angeles Dodgers, okay? I saw a joke last week that they signed the Pop-Tart. Yeah, the Dodgers signed the Pop-Tart to a billion-dollar deal. The Dodgers got money for everybody. Otani's getting 700 mil. Yamamoto, they're like, hey, Yamamoto, how much money you want? It's 325 mil, 12 years. Everybody is getting money from the Dodgers, except for me and Ryan Hickey. Ryan, if the Dodgers offered you money, what position would you play?
Bench. Left bench.
Left bench. Not bad.
Collect a couple mil. Not bad.
I would shine. Would you shine Ohtani's shoes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know if he chews gum. Wash the uniform. Let me be careful here. I'd do whatever for the Dodgers for some money, okay? They're giving everybody a contract. And I have always found this to be absolutely hilarious here in Atlanta, Georgia. Because you could say that still, even though, you know, the Dodgers haven't won the World Series since we saw them in that bubble down in Texas. I know here in the Braves, Atlanta, God bless them, they went right down Peachtree, had their parade a couple of seasons ago. But these are still two of the top teams battling it out in just baseball flattened period. Except for the Atlanta Braves, they do it a little bit different down here. They ain't throwing around $700 million at a player. I always found it just like, well, damn, Acuna, you could have waited a little bit. But like Rory McIlroy, I can't look at somebody else's pockets. The Braves got their dudes on a discount. I mean, Ronald Acuna is like, hey, I'm a 70-40 player, or 40-70 player, 40 home runs, 70 stolen bases. Ronald Acuna is the MVP of the National League. And the Braves basically said, hey, will you take $100 million over 8 years? And Ronald Acuna said, yes. The man is 26 years old, and he is playing on probably what is the biggest discount in Major League Baseball, flat and period. You want to think about the biggest hitter probably in the game? You want to look at somebody like Aaron Judge making about $40 million a year? Ronald Acuna is barely making $12 million a year. And so what did the Braves go out there and do? After winning 100-plus games, after losing in the postseason, after the pitching fell apart behind Spencer Strider, what did they go out there and do? They traded one of their prospects, Vaughn Grissom, for Chris Sale, who had to deal with a bunch of injuries and came back last year for the Red Sox, had an ERA about 4.75. And he's running into the last year of his deal. This dude was throwing flames, lefty flamethrower, with the White Sox. But more recently, he's been hurt. Well, at the end of his contract right now, this man, Chris Sale, is owed $27.5 million. The Braves will only be paying $500,000 of it this year. The Red Sox are going to pay $17 million this year for this man's contract, and the other $10 million is deferred until 2039. How the hell is this legal in baseball? Shohei Ohtani's going to get paid for the next 20 years. Chris Sale is going to be getting money until 2039. Alex Anthopoulos is a genius. Acuna, $100 million over 8 years. Austin Riley is making more than that. Austin Riley's on a 10-year deal, $212 million. It's robbery. And Alex Anthopoulos, he was actually on 92.9 The Game here in Georgia, and he talked about Chris Sale helping out the Braves for cheap.
All the work we did on Chris Sale was just people rave about the person, the work ethic, the competitor, the teammate. So I told him that. I told him it's a huge part of what we do. It's a huge part of players that we bring in. You know, I don't want to say it's obviously ability and what he does on the mound is the priority, but that other piece and the makeup and the clubhouse fit is not far behind. So knowing he can just come in and be himself and go about things the way he always has, I think it's going to be a fantastic fit, and he's excited.
Man, if this dude comes on and is a shell or improves just a little bit from what he did last year, he's going to be a problem. 4-3 ERA, he started 20 games. If you can move him comfortably to 25-plus starts, I think you would take it. If he can go out there and pitch, I don't know, 150, 170 innings, I think you go out there and take it. And the Atlanta Braves, I know we've done a lot of talking about money this hour. Somehow, some way, the Dodgers are throwing around $700 million for Ohtani. Yeah, he can hit, he can pitch. Well, he ain't going to be pitching this year. But damn. The Braves just find a way to compete, and I don't want to say do it on the cheap, but they got these young guys. They know how to develop them, and the minute that they strike it, they go, you going to take this money now? Or do you want to risk us not giving it to you later, or do you want to risk an injury? The Braves know how to do it. Everybody else is just throwing around ridiculous amounts of money, and they're just taking everybody for a ride. I laugh. I still can't believe Acuna is only making $12 million? The MVP? I mean, who am I to say only $12 million? But damn, Aaron Judge making 40. What a wild world we live in, right? Ugh. And then you got a guy in the Dodgers. He's not even taking any of his money for another 10 years. It's nutty. Nutty what we live in. World we live in. Baseball is a crazy world by itself. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday night, I bring you a new top six list to start the year off and try to give some folks some advice. It's a top six list of athletes I wish would shut up in 2024. I'll tell you who they are on the other side. The JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.